This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Back here on the Drive, hour number two underway in the Top 4 at 4, brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Jake Miller.
Thank you, Russell. Up first, Tennessee takes care of the Presbyterian Blue Hose by a score of 86-44. Hope you took the under, because the under, or the over-under, was set at 131.5, with a total of 130.
Ooh, how did they get so close on that stuff, Russ?
They're pros, man.
I mean, it's like Vegas and FanDuel and all these people, they just got like some, you know, like on Star Trek, the people with the humongous brains.
Odds makers. Yeah, I mean, it's
sitting
what they
in
do.
A back room, just, it's going to be 130. So let's set the line at 131.5.
You ever noticed how, like, they're either, like, within a point or two of the over-under a lot of the times, and sometimes they're just completely off?
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They were off on the Ole Miss-Tennessee game, weren't they? Is that the one?
Yeah, because the over-under with that was in the 80s. Well, pretty sure.
I tell you, those guys who run those places, and we love our friends at FanDuel, but
they know what they're doing.
They're not going broke.
No.
They're making the money.
And up next at number two, after a four-month investigation, the NBA has punished the Chicago Bulls and Miami Heat with the loss of second-round draft picks because of premature discussions with the free agency of guards Lonzo Ball and Kyle Lowry. Both teams fully
tampering?
Yeah. They both fully cooperated with the investigations, which was a factor in the penalties.
College football needs a commissioner so they can crack down on tampering.
Yes. I mean, they need commissioner for a lot of reasons, but that's one. Yeah, I mean,
if you see what's going on with Oklahoma right now.
Yeah, well, and yeah, man, I'm not naive. It's happening to Tennessee. Tennessee is doing it to other schools. Everybody's doing it, man. It's the wild, wild west out there. There's no regulatory authority in college football right now. It's not going to work long term, man. They're going to have to come up with a new way of doing business, or that model is in trouble. It's very different right now than it was 10 years ago. In another 5 to 10 years, it will look drastically different if they don't get a handle on the NIL stuff and the transfers. And
I mean, it's like open free agency right now.
Yeah, so
I mean, hell, you've got Oklahoma coaches, alleged assistants that are going to USC, allegedly recruiting players while they were being paid by Oklahoma.
We can get into this a little bit later, but do you think that this will crater Oklahoma's football program if it continues the way it is?
Nah. They got too much money and too many smart people, I think. Bob Stoops is that's one thing about Stoops, and I'll give it to him, is him stepping in, and it's kind of been a stabilizing influence. So, but yeah, like I said, we can get back into it.
And number three, Texan safety Justin Reed will play Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts after he was held out of Houston's game in Week 12 for disciplinary reasons. Head coach David Culley said Wednesday Reed was suspended for the game against the Jets after he challenged Culley's coaching in a team meeting. And then, boom, he was suspended.
David Culley laying down the law.
He got a one-gamer for that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the NFL, but most of, like, especially head coaches I've been around, regardless of sport, if you call them out on something, they're basically telling you to take all their stuff off and give it to them, then hit bricks.
Pretty much. And go ahead, Bear.
No, that was it.
All right. And finally, at number four, according to the Akron Beacon, former Mississippi State head coach and now Oregon offensive coordinator Joe Moorhead will be the University of Akron's next football coach. The announcement is expected to come sometime after Friday's Pac-12 conference championship between Oregon and Utah.
Zips.
So Joe Moorhead will make his return to Knoxville.
Will he?
Oh, no. Yes, he will.
This year?
Next year, yeah.
Okay.
About that?
Moorhead.
I hope.
I guess Akron's the only job you can get if you got a loss to Jeremy Pruitt on your resume, boys.
Well, good for him. That does seem like a tough job, man. Akron has not been successful historically, it seems. At least against the big boys, anyway. Maybe
how does Akron not have the most difficult schedule every year? Like one of those schools that just will schedule all these like a murderer's row of like big time programs just to hit their budget for every sport. That's why they're doing it.
Well, of course.
The top four at four brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles, bringing the future of modern dental care to East Tennessee today. Everybody wants gleaming, beautiful white teeth, but very few people enjoy the scraping and polishing, all the gritty stuff that gets stuck in your teeth at the dentist. Well, all that will soon be ancient history at Knoxville Smiles. You hear us talking about it here lately. Guided biofilm therapy. It's the wave of the future. No more scratching, no more poking, no more scraping. They use a gentle erythritol powder mixed with air and warm water, and it can clean your teeth better than ever before without all the poking, scraping, and scratching. So if the thought of going to the dentist fills you with lots of stress and anxiety, this is going to be music to your ears. A kinder, gentler approach. Dr. Steve Malone and Michael Costa, proud to be among the first to offer it here in Knoxville. Call 865-539-1776 to find out more and set up your appointment. Or you can do it online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Bill Bender of the Sporting News coming up momentarily on the show here this afternoon. And Tennessee will find out where they are going bowling.
That Sunday?
On Sunday. Here are a couple of the latest predictions. Appreciate Patrick Brown over at 247 Sports for compiling this list for us. 247 has Tennessee in the Music City Bowl against Minnesota.
Who are you going to cheer for?
Why does everybody keep asking me that?
Because every time I look straight ahead, I see a Minnesota sticker sitting right
there
on the window.
That's those clowns, the Chadwell chumps on three and out trying to poke at the captain. We're ignoring them, okay? They're sophomoric senses of humor.
I mean, would I be happy for PJ Fleck if good things happened to him? Sure. But am I going to be pulling against my alma mater? My hometown team? Mm-mm. Against a team from Minnesota, the Gophers? No. Come on. Come on, Jake. I thought you knew me better than that, buddy. I thought you knew me better.
I'd pull against my alma mater.
For who?
MTSU.
You would pull for, oh.
For Tennessee?
Yeah.
Mark Tennessee. Schlabaugh, ESPN, is Tennessee in the Duke's Mayo Bowl against Virginia.
Be a rematch from the, what?
91? 90 Sugar Bowl.
90 or 91 Sugar
Forget
Bowl?
Forget that, man. I'll play Virginia in the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
We toyed with them like a cat toys with a mouse.
Why doesn't Bristol have a bowl game?
Good question, Jake.
Probably ESPN, because it's colder than heck.
I mean, I'm sure the modern student athlete would love a week in beautiful Bristol. All the things you could do up there that would to entertain the kids and the families. It sounds like a lot of fun. No offense, Upper East Tennessee.
Be better than the Birmingham Bowl.
Kyle Bonagura of ESPN has Tennessee in the Duke's Mayo Bowl against Miami. See, now that's a better matchup.
I'd like to play Miami.
I don't mind going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. As long as we're playing Miami, or is Clemson, is that just not a thing? They went 9-3.
I don't really want to play Clemson anymore, Russ.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
No.
You think they beat us?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
They've got the second-ranked defense in the nation.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Second defense in the nation. Why? Because they beat up on freaking Wake Forest and NC State?
Well, Wake Forest is playing for the conference championship this weekend.
You think Big Daddy Josh Heupel is scared of Clemson? You don't think we go out there and put about 500 yards on them? Come on, man. Sack up, dude. Grow a pair.
I don't want to play Clemson.
Bring it on, dude. Clemson. We'll smoke them like a Philly blunt.
You turn the bass down.
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
You need to turn the bass up, man.
Good point.
CBS Sports as Tennessee in the Music City Bowl against Minnesota.
God, I don't want to play a Big Ten team, dude.
College Football News has Tennessee in the Duke's Mayo Bowl against Virginia. So two of those matchups and two of the Minnesota matchups. The Athletic has the Tax Slayer Bowl against Wake Forest.
God, that'd be a It'd be a track meet.
Be fun game to watch, right?
There'd be a lot of stories to the claw offense.
Kids would probably rather play in Jacksonville. A lot of offense out there. I think Tennessee beats them.
Going to warm weather.
Athlon has Tennessee in the Music City Bowl against Purdue. And former Tennessee coach Jeff Brohm.
I don't like paying Purdue, period. Boring.
Want to see our old coach?
Sporting News has us in the Outback Bowl against Wisconsin.
Rematch of 07-08.
You really want our defense on the field with a asthma and machine, like Big Ten machine like that?
Well, their defense is what would concern me more than their offense. They're one of the top five teams in defensive efficiency in the country.
Really? I mean, after they beat up on Northwestern and Rutgers and all those crappy teams, you're scared of them?
Well, you're making the same argument I made for the ACC.
Exactly.
I'm not scared of them, no, not at all. I would love that matchup.
You need to sack up, Russ.
Bring it on. I'm all for it. Let's play them.
I don't want to play a Big Ten team. It's boring as hell.
Yeah, because we're going to put up 100 points. They're going to put up three.
Boat raced by some, by Clemson. The possibility is there. I don't think we get boat raced because our quarterback's not very good. But
Action Network, Brett McMurphy's outfit has Tennessee in the Outback Bowl against Wisconsin. So two of those matchups. USA Today has Tennessee in the Music City Bowl against Penn State. Ooh. Tennessee versus James Franklin in Nashville.
That'd be fun.
Lots of narrative there. All right. Lots of intriguing possibilities. Which bowl game do you want to go to? We'll make that our Record Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. Stay with us. Bill Bender of the Sporting News coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. We go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Welcome in Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Good afternoon, Bill. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Is your head on a swivel here during coaching search madness season?
I think today it's slowed down, but the second I say that, something else will happen, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. But, yeah, the last 96 hours or so have been as crazy as it's ever been.
What do you think of this? Because down here in Knoxville, we take this kind of seriously. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Tennessee fans have turned the college football coaching search into an art form over the years, and they're just having to live vicariously through everybody else this year. But it just seems like you don't see the level of attention and controversy in whether it's Major League Baseball or even the NFL, NBA. A college football coaching search really just brings out the worst in people at times, and it's interesting, man. I can't get enough of it.
Well, I think the college football coach is the symbol of your program. NFL coaches come and go. I couldn't name all the NBA coaches if you gave me, but I can pretty much tell you who the Power Five coach and most of the Group of Five coaches are without even looking. And I think that's why it gets so heated, is that is the face of your program. And this week in particular, when you had the face of the Oklahoma program take another job and the face of the Notre Dame program take another job, not to mention in the middle of a playoff hunt, I think that's why it's gotten so much reaction. It's been two crazy days.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, that's a good way of putting it. He's the face of the program, but I think it even goes deeper than that, Bill. It's like he represents you personally as a fan. Like that's your guy, right? Whereas, like you said, the pro coaches will come and go, but a college football coach, the internet message board culture that goes along with it. We know so much about these people, their personalities, even their families at times. I mean, it gets a little bit creepy at times, doesn't it?
I got creepy with Brian Kelly, for example. So, like, everybody's up in arms about the meeting, right? The 11-minute or whatever-minute meeting it was. Well, one of my buddies texted me. He's like, well, that's a long time to say bye. and he had a point. Like, when you resign from something, the longer you stay, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah.
So, this is the business end of it. And players understand that more, I think, than the fans do, honestly, because players can now come and go. You're seeing the transfer portal as wild as it's ever been. So, I mean, these are crazy days in college football. The sport, I don't think it's gone completely off the rails, but it's a lot different than we're all used to.
Yeah, you know, when a guy leaves, there's been this narrative out there that, oh, the right thing to do is to tell the players. You want to tell them face-to-face. People killed Bobby Petrino for just – I know he bolted from the NFL, but it's like, really, dude, you just left a note and left? Boy, that's pretty low. But I watched that video of Brian Kelly's – and like he said what I guess you have to say in that situation. But I found myself afterwards just thinking – was that really necessary? Like that, I don't think that did anything for him or the players other than just check the box of, well, at least you did it the right way.
Well, yeah, and there is, it's hard. I mean, everybody's going to have their own, what do you want him to do is kind of my question.
Yeah.
He's leaving. He already left in the middle of, I mean, Notre Dame could make the playoff Sunday. It's feasible. I don't know if it'll happen, but I mean, it's definitely something that could happen. And, you know, when you, like you said, you live in the message board internet era where everything is going to be scrutinized anyway. I think he did it his way, and, you know, Lincoln Riley did it his way. And, you know, obviously that one was wild because you wonder how long was that in the works if, you know, they lose to Oklahoma State Saturday and then he's gone the next day. I mean, it truly is, you know, head turning. And then all these recruits are following him too, and that's what makes it so vitriol. I mean, like with Lincoln Riley, right? We're saying, oh, he ducked the SEC. Well, I guess I don't look at that way. I look at it like he found the better opportunity.
What do you think of Brian Kelly in the SEC? Do you think he will be successful there?
I think he's going to be better than people think. You know, you look at how he won at Notre Dame and all the big games he won, and then you look at, you know, his recruiting track record at Notre Dame, and now – you know, the last three coaches at LSU have won national championships with that talent. I think he's a very good football coach. I think he's a very polarizing football coach, but at the same time, I think he's a very good one.
Talking with Bill Bender of the Sporting News this afternoon. So what do you think that Notre Dame should do about the void left behind Brian Kelly? That is always has been a crown jewel job in the sport of college football, and certainly Kelly leaves it in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be really good next year. They've got a lot of talent coming back. They've got good running backs, good offensive line, good setup. I mean, rather, you know, there's this push for Marcus Freeman. I think that would be a fantastic hire if they do that. There's a push for Luke Fickell. If they go in that direction, that's fine, too. You know, those are the two that's really got to center around. Otherwise, you're looking at Matt Campbell. Whoever takes that job is going to inherit a lot of his talent and a lot of expectations, but I'm not a Notre Dame hater. I've always, you know, appreciated the program, appreciated how hard it is to coach there. I think Brian Kelly did a fantastic job while he was there.
What it is a big moment that we saw up there in Big Ten country for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan over the weekend, finally getting over the hump against their hated rivals, the Buckeyes. Bill, I remember talking to you about this over the summer and what a big game that was. And finally, they are able to walk through that door. What does that win mean for their program?
Well, you know, I think it's something that it will be interesting to see. You know, if they can take the Big Ten championship now, I mean, it will mean less if they don't beat Iowa, unfortunately, because everything's based on the playoff. But in terms of finally beating Ohio State, finally getting that box checked, to use your phrase from a few minutes ago, it's huge. And the way they did it, he had a good game plan. He stuck with it. Nobody can question Jim Harbaugh's game plan against the Buckeyes now. That was a really good job. And if they beat Iowa, they're going to get their swing in the playoff, and that will be good for program recruiting, those kind of things.
Pretty good shot at meeting Georgia for a national title, you would think, if, again, both of those programs win, because I guess if, assuming that a two-loss Alabama team does not get into the playoff, I guess they would be matched up against, I don't know, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame without Brian Kelly, or Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, what we're looking at. I mean, Michigan's going to have a good shot making the national championship game. Georgia, and if they played Georgia, I mean, I've been joking all week. I mean, who didn't have Stetson Bennett and Cade McNamara playing right. quarterback in the championship game? Not too many people had that in August. And if they did, they're probably lying to you. So, you know, that's made it interesting. I think the intrigue around Oklahoma State this weekend, can they get in if they win the Big 12, and will it be at Cincinnati's expense or something? Obviously, the SEC championship game is going to play out like a national championship game in a lot of ways, because the winner of that game will have a decent chance of winning it all.
Do you think Cincinnati, assuming they take care of business against Houston in their conference championship game, do you think they've done enough to get in, regardless of what Oklahoma State or anybody else does?
I do, but I'm not in that committee room, right? And I don't know how they're going to behave. And that's something that I've kind of thought about. The more I think about it, like, you know, you're kind of seeing this tweet. Okay, so will they put one-loss Oklahoma State in over Cincinnati? And they might. They might. I don't think they should. I think the 13-0 season, the chance to see a Group of Five school, kind of a two. I know it's not supposed to be this way, but a two-year body of work makes sense, and we can finally see what the Bearcats do on that stage. And you know, Luke Fickell's earned that opportunity for them, and I hope they're able to get it.
Talking with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. You know, Bill, my only issue with how the committee handled these rankings is what they said about Notre Dame. Curious to get your thoughts, what Barta said last night about potentially taking the coaching situation there into account. On one hand, I get it. I mean, it does change the Notre Dame dynamic. But, man, that's really – you got to feel for the players who have completed that season in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you've got to feel for them. But, my editor, Bill Troche, he's a Notre Dame fan, and he pointed me to this podcast that Kyle Hamilton and some of the others did, and it's a remarkable instance of maturity that these guys had. So I think they understand it's a business. This is more than ever. And I think, you know, it's different than it was maybe before pre-social media and recruiting rankings and the transfer portal and NIL, that, you know, coaches are part of this business too. And it's a better opportunity. I don't know if it's a better opportunity, but it was the better opportunity for Brian Kelly. And there aren't too many people that are going to turn down $95 million at that point.
Well, just a great hypothetical to end on here. And we'll ask you to speculate with us, but obviously Notre Dame could still make the playoffs, and he has chosen to make the move that he has. If they had beaten Cincinnati and they're undefeated in this moment and in the playoff, no matter what, do you think Kelly still takes that job?
Man, that's a great question, because I think, you know, part of it is this notion that there's limited restrictions on recruiting with the academic standards. We've heard this over and over the last couple of days, but I mean, he's really built Notre Dame into something great the last 4 years. I know people don't want to hear that, but it would have been a third playoff berth. Outside of the first 15 plays, they played well with Alabama last year, and they were continuing to build a pretty good program. So it is a great what if, because I think their next coach is going to have to handle those same expectations that, you know, the only other person that's coached that long at Notre Dame was Newt Rockne.
Wow. Yep. It's we'll see what they end up doing and how things fare for Notre Dame when the final college football rankings come out next week. Bill, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for jumping on with us. Really appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. Thanks so much. Take care.
You too. Bill Bender of the Sporting News on the G3 Help Me Hotline. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214. To get help now. Again, that's G3HelpMe.com. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, our number here in studio, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We'll give you the results of some of the Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot poll question when we continue here after this timeout. We will also revisit two of the better topics we discussed yesterday on the show. Some really funny social media interaction on the college football cliche dictionary we are compiling here for Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, cruising along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Which bowl game do you most want to see Tennessee in? We gave you four choices. The number one choice so far, with over 100 votes cast already at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, 43.8% of the audience wants to see Tennessee versus Penn State in the Music City Bowl. Next highest vote getter is Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl. 16.2% want Miami in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. And then the lowest vote getter is they don't want to see Tennessee playing P.J. Fleck, Minnesota in the Music City Bowl. 6.2% on that one.
I don't want to see it either.
It's early, though. We'll see how things shake out. Let's get back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. Boxcar Willie is next. What's up, Willie?
Hey, guys. I got a call this morning from a friend of mine, and I was tied up at the moment, couldn't answer. I mean, this was probably around 10:30 or so. He just called me back, and this guy doesn't make up stuff either. And he told me that the Oklahoma plane was out there at TAC Air this morning.
What are you doing?
Let me check the flight tracker.
Well, see, you say that, Willie, and let me just dispel that.
What are you
that.
Doing?
There's an article that came out on Sooner Scoop earlier today.
What are you doing?
That put the hype on Oklahoma to bed.
Well, let's keep going here. And he said that the only reason, and he's from the around South Bend, Indiana, moved down here. And he said that the only reason Notre Dame hadn't hired that defense coordinator as their head coach is because they're going after Urban Meyer and or John Gruden.
Oh, wow.
I don't think Gruden.
I love Tennessee.
I think he's going to have to adjudicate all his lawsuits and stuff before we're going to see him again.
Would you become a dyed-in-the-wool Notre Dame fan?
Hey, Bear, there are no lawsuits against him. He's suing. He's suing that fraud that they got for a commissioner in the NFL.
And I love Tennessee.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I hope he gets all those emails out in the public,
domain.
Yeah,
I do too. And I hope he gets about $100 million.
There are reports now that Notre Dame may wait until Cincinnati season's over because they want Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I love Tennessee.
Well, I'd say if they don't land Urban Meyer or Gruden, I'd say that's exactly who they're going to hire.
I'm telling you, Urban's a no-go with a lot of these college coaches. And, Russ, you were right. John Shin from Sooner Scoop, Willie, basically said that the breakup when Stoops fired Josh Heupel after the 2014 season was as ugly as it gets. These guys were around it. They say that Heupel is bitter about the firing. OU is bitter about things becoming a big enough mess that Stoops had to fire him. Those attaching Heupel to the OU job just prove that they don't know much about the program.
Willie, you don't think that Oklahoma, they've been so secretive about their search. You really think they just pull up to TAC Air in their university plane?
Well, here's my take on it. It wouldn't crush me if Heupel left for Oklahoma because long term, I think that offense, I think it can get us to 9-3, and I think that's about the ceiling for that deal.
Really?
I don't think long term it's going to work. And I'd kind of like to see what Danny White's made of as far as hiring a head coach.
Oh, you don't want another coach in search, Willie?
Not somebody that's already working for him. I'd like to see him, you know, if that comes to fruition, I'd like to see if he's smart enough to go out and hire a hot young coach like a Jamie Chadwell.
Oh, good Lord. Here's what I think. I think the exact opposite, Willie. I think that here in 3 or 4 years, everybody's going to be playing fast the way Heupel does. I think
So then we won't have an advantage at all. And if he can't recruit, we'll be getting our ass kicked.
He's going to have to adjust if that's what happens.
He's going to have to grow some, yeah.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good show.
Thank you, Willie. Appreciate the
Mark
phone
Willie
call.
Down is a – we've got the Barnes bashers and the Heupel haters.
Yeah, that's
some Legion of the Miserable level stuff right there with Willie.
Give him a gold star for today.
Yeah, he does. He gets a gold star.
Does he?
Yeah.
He completed a phone call without doing anything to get flushed for Willie.
I guess that is a good point.
We're grading on a curve here. We're grading on a curve here with our callers.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Phil, are you Bear Bryant and Jake Snake done?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I was impressed with a phone call from Willie. Like, y'all just got through stating. It was, I was just getting ready to see a bomb dropped.
He made it through. That's progress.
Yeah, and really, he's taking over Utah's lead about getting rid of coaches now, isn't he?
He doesn't like Heupel. He's not a Heupel backer, that's for sure.
He wanted to know what his buyout was after four games.
That is true.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Well,
I mean,
we couldn't fire Heupel right now. I mean,
why would we?
No, I don't think we can fire Heupel right now. That's a great observation. Well, that would be silly.
Give him a couple more years anyway.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Let's give him some time. Let's give him another year. See what happens.
He's going to get what do you think, Phil? I think he's going to get 4 or 5.
4 or 5 years?
Yeah, just because of the shape the program was, what he walked into.
Let me tell you what it's going to be.
So they gave him a 7-year contract.
When we play Syracuse in 2025 at the Georgia Dome, one of two things is going to happen that year. Either we're going to win a national championship or Josh Heupel's going to get fired.
That game is a kiss of death.
How about this? Guys, can we just stop talking in terms of how many years we're going to give him? Does it 4 years, 5 years?
I'm just talking about history repeating itself.
Can we just assume that we have a good football coach and that we're going to improve next year and just think about recruiting and winning games and instead of counting down the days to when – we get to fire another guy and send him to the buyout life.
I never said he was going to get fired.
Well, I'm just saying, like, everybody, and I'm not picking on Phil. I mean, I hear this a lot. It's like, how many years are we going to give him? How many years is it going to take? So how about we just, not to go all Nick Saban on you, but how about we just embrace the process and move forward, Jeremy Pruitt?
Let's just give him a chance. How about that?
Yeah.
We're trying to.
Look at their recruiting. I like what they're doing, but I don't see any linebackers being committed yet.
They've got two.
Well, I'm not talking, we need more than that. We can have a rotation at linebacker, and outside of Banks, the rest of them can't play.
Well, I mean, you're not losing any. So you've got two committed. You've got a couple of guys that were basically redshirting this year. And then I do think you go – and look at the portal and see, is there a game changer guy? Is there a guy that we can plug in next to Banks? And
is there a guy that weighs more than 210 pounds?
Yeah, can we get a major upgrade right there? But I mean, I think numbers wise, they've got bodies there. It's just you got to improve the quality.
It looks like they're going to close pretty good with these players out of Georgia, don't it?
Heupel's doing work, man. It's impressive. Considering what he's up against, all the negative recruiting out there, because everybody all these dudes that Tennessee is trying to get are all being told by the other schools that Josh Heupel's not going to be there long. He's going to Oklahoma. If he doesn't go to Oklahoma, he's going to go to the first good job that gets offered to him because he knows the NCAA is going to hammer them. You're not going to be able to go to bowl games. You might not get to play on TV. There's no NIL money. I mean, the amount of negative recruiting against Tennessee right now, I don't think fans realize how bad it is. And he's somehow managing.
NIL's not straightened out either. It's already hurt Rick Barnes is recruiting, and no, it will hurt our football recruiting if we're trying to go to the big time. Got to get straightened this next year, the NIL.
Well, they got it's a tough road to navigate. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what do you do? What do you do if you're Danny White? Because on one hand, you're trying to get these folks to finance the renovations you're doing and Tony Vitello's stadium and all the donations, but on the other hand, you want them to take this NIL thing and grab this by the horns and do that for you on their own.
Exactly. Well, we got to get ball players. That's what it's all about. You can build all the buildings you want to. If you don't have ball players, it doesn't matter. One more thing.
Agreed.
The Battle of West Knoxville turned out pretty good last night. Bearden gave them a scare. They was ahead by 14 at halftime, and Bearden scored 14 points in the second half. BJ and Blue Kane put on a show, and Tennessee needs to recruit Blue Kane. Now, Blue Kane is a must-get for Tennessee as far as I'm concerned.
Love Blue Kane. Got to get him, Phil. You're absolutely right.
See you guys.
Gold star.
Really worried about that one if somebody comes a-calling.
Well, Tennessee offered him, didn't they, over the summer?
Pretty sure.
They gave him the offer, but maybe not putting on the quote-unquote full-court press just yet.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's one team that is, and he really, really likes them. But,
who?
I can't remember off the top of my head because there's so many schools recruiting him. The one I'd watch out for, though, absolutely is – I mean, he's a junior, and we're a long way away from it, but if he gets an offer – from the Blue Devils, from Duke. I don't think he'll be going anywhere but Duke.
Well, that sucks.
Well, I mean, he's a legacy.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'd have to.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to hate him with the fury of 1,000 burning suns.
Yeah,
if he goes
it sucks
because
he's an incredible basketball player. But he is a Duke legacy. His dad played.
Duke.
Is a Duke grad and played on the Duke golf team. He was a golfer. A golfer.
865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show here this afternoon, breaking things down. All right, so we got a recap yesterday, the coaching search cliche. A lot of great submissions on Twitter last night.
Did you write them down? I didn't. Sorry.
Well, no, they're on Twitter. I'm just going to go read them.
Oh, okay.
We probably should write them down, though. That's a good idea.
We need them.
All right, stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Baer, Jake Cruz along with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. So, great topic of the show yesterday. So, we were all these phrases that we throw around.
Oh, they're incredible.
And it's only with the college coaching search, right?
Yeah.
It's very unique.
We
don't use it for NFL coaching searches.
And those things are done in private professionally.
We don't use these phrases when we're talking about the actual games or really in any other walk of life, such as, I'm hearing a lot of chatter around so-and-so.
A lot of smoke.
Or so-and-so doesn't really move the needle.
What the hell does move the?
I don't know. Like when you're choosing a, if you're choosing a chiropractor, you wouldn't be like, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't go see him. He doesn't really move the needle.
Yeah, I mean, like this summer when, last winter and spring, my brother and I weren't picking who I was going to go, what doctor I was going to go see about whether or not they moved the needle for me.
How about, quote, a name we're hearing more and more is. Oh, you're hearing him more and more, like from multiple people. They're telling you this now. We're hearing it more and more.
You're hearing it more and more on the message boards.
Not more and more and more. Not more, just more and more. That's always a sign that a candidate is. And we should add this one: picking up steam.
Okay. Picking up steam's a good one.
But nothing's better than my buddy at the steel mill. That's all-time favorite.
I still love, they can't trot so-and-so out there.
That's a good one.
You can't trot Jeremy Pruitt out there.
Yeah.
You can't be talking about hiring John Gruden and have groomers going rampant through your fan base and then trot Dave Doran out there.
Or try and get us to hire Greg Schiano.
Like he's a horse and the AD is whipping him on the behind. All right, go out there and do the dog and pony show for him.
Do you notice that none of the blue check marks got clutch their pearls about known, you know, coaching savant Greg Schiano not getting mentioned with any of these big
– He's Catholic too, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's so great. Why doesn't
Why does Notre Dame go after him?
Exactly. I don't know. It's funny.
The word that I saw on them
– he's elite.
Is they're waiting on Luke Fickle. They would – I mean, I think they flat out said they would prefer to have a Catholic head coach and somebody with ties to Midwestern Catholic high schools.
Chris said two of his favorites are, quote, they need to find someone who's a good fit, and that's a safe hire. You make a safe hire. A safe hire is always good. You'd rather make a safe hire than a risky hire.
I think Rick Barnes was classified as a safe hire.
He was a safe hire. And he's led us to
safe. I swear to God.
It's safe. I mean, we're in the tournament every year. Nobody thinks we're going to a Final Four anytime soon.
We're excited. We aren't pissed about basketball. All you got to do is make the tournament here.
Safety is – there's something to be said for safety.
We want to be in the dance. But I remember the day he got hired calling into your show from the Carnes Elementary parking lot, and I told you it was a home run hire.
D.R. Ball had a good one. Just
what's his?
The deal is done.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a – yeah.
The deal
they're
is
just,
done.
They're waiting to make the announcement.
Yeah. TK said, sources close to the program.
That's a good one.
Now, close to the program could mean anything. Technically, I'm close to the program.
So I know a kid who goes out to every damn message board, and he brings it all back to us at my home board.
The janitor is close to the program.
Yeah.
The guy who empties the trash cans over there in the Anderson Training Complex is very close to the program.
How was it? Somebody like a janitor broke a big one in the past few years.
I like the one last night about Urban Meyer. Sources close to his way of thinking. Yeah.
Close to his way of thinking?
Yes.
He's got a psychic or something down there?
Or familiar with his way of thinking.
What they do, go dig up, some kind of serial killer somewhere and ask them. You're talking about close to Urban Meyer's way of thinking. He's a sociopath.
Concrete Vol had a good one. Blank isn't walking through that door.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Listen, guys. Urban Meyer's not walking through that door, okay? I think we're all going to have to lower our expectations.
I think I may have said that during Groomers, you knuckleheads. I said, look, John Gruden's not walking through that door, boys. What are you doing yourselves?
Oh, here's a good one from Rocky Top Vol 365. He's a home run hire.
Well, I said that. That Rick Barnes. Travis Cabbage had a good one.
What was that?
Post-coaching search, but his favorite is he won the press conference. Mm.
Got to win the press conference, man.
Travis Cabbage also had another funny tweet.
Hockey Top Vol said
– talking about his Dale Earnhardt tweet?
No, the one about Russell.
Oh.
They need to back the Brinks truck up. Back the Brinks truck up and make him tell you no.
I've used that one before.
Tell me no! You just see like some AD just like pummeling a coach. Tell me no, damn it!
Oh, here's a good one that got coined by Fan Run Zone superstar HK Houston Kress. A direct quote.
Direct quote. How about Christopher Gabriel? There's, quote, only one job he'd leave for.
Oh, God.
It's right up there with a coach saying, it would take something special for me to leave this place. Something special.
Yeah, like the USC job coming open, Laney. Yeah,
a treasure chest full
Lane
of gold.
Lane train.
Priceless treasure.
You think Brian Kelly, what a punk.
What qualities does he bring to the table? Oh, Tim had a good one. The white whale. It's the white whale.
That's a good one. That is.
Oh, man. Back channels, that's good. You gotta love the back channels.
Back channels are buzzing.
Doug Justice had a good one. The dominoes are beginning to fall. Kick the tires. Shout out to Big Country for that one.
I
always like to kick the tires on so and so. It can't hurt. You know, you don't have to hire. If our job came open,
he's going to kick the tires.
What's wrong with kicking the tires on PJ Fleck? I know you don't like him, but you just kick the tires.
Why'd you have to bring him in? You don't kick the tires on a
just
road.
Just kick
road,
the
road,
tires.
No.
I'm not saying hire him. I'm just saying kick the tires.
That's why the Minnesota stickers are up on the wall here.
865-546-8200. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on was the record prediction, the way too early record prediction.
Oh, from yesterday?
Yeah. Let's see what the poll.
Jake, you still standing strong with your 11-1 prediction?
I'm going to die on that hill with my sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Herding the sheep.
You 687 vote cast on Twitter. 52% of the audience said 9-3. 26.9% said 8-4. And then 17.3% of you Sunshine Pumpers said 10-2. So we'll put the over under on 8.5 wins. Can we do that officially?
I think so.
8.5 wins. Jake's is hammering hammering the over.
I'm going to hammer the under.
You're going 8-4.
Yeah, I think we'll probably hit 8-4 next year. If depending on the ask me again after the portal.
It's a one game improvement.
Did you just say 10-2 yesterday?
I think he did.
Yeah, Russ, I get all fired up sometimes. That's the beauty of the barometer. On records, you give me 30 seconds, and I'll probably go 11-1.
That's fine. Roger and I will share extra large pizza, and we'll herd the sheep.
Yeah, I believe Roger's going to share food, much as I believe John Gruden was going to be our coach.
People are all fired up about this, the construction over there on the West Club seats. We got to come up with a better name for West Club. We call it the Dan Club Dub. I like that. The Dub Club.
I
like Club Dub.
Actually,
Club Dub. That should be the one, the upper deck one with the beer garden and everything. That's Club Dub. Danny White. Club Dub.
I feel like if they really call it, it'd be the kind of thing you'd have. Club Dubsy. Club Dub. Yeah, I don't know. You're the only Dubsy in town.
Yeah, man. People are not happy. I don't have a big problem with the West Side. I'm just glad that they are not doing. Remember John Curry's renovations?
Oh, that South End Zone, the cocktail
South End
party
zone,
thing?
Like on the ground too, so you would have seen it on TV. I don't care. I don't think we're going to notice this at all. I don't think whether you go to the game or you're watching on TV. I don't think it's going to change the way the stadium looks. I don't think it's going to change the vibe in there.
We don't see the concourse during the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's a big deal.
I mean, I'm always – I don't ever move out of the rocking chair drinking lemonade, and I don't even care about this. I really don't. Get the football team back on a competitive footing with Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. That's what I care about.
And this is the name of the game for Danny White and these new athletics directors. It's premium seating, box seating. It's what you hear them talking about with the baseball stadium, right, is – yeah, they want to put some more seats down the foul line and everything, but there's no money in that. The money is in patio with a grill on it or a box seat with comfortable chairs and like TVs and an air-conditioned room you can go in and hit up the buffet or whatever. That's what they're doing, and there'll probably be more in Thompson Bowling, more in Neyland Stadium. And
get used to it. You've seen SoFi Stadium, and that's just what people want.
All right, stay with us. The drive continues. Jake's got your top five at 5. Hour number 3 coming up.